We're turning to Luke chapter 10. And as we considered Martha the last couple of weeks, we want then today to look at Mary, her sister. In the New Testament scriptures, we meet with no less than seven women, all called Mary. There is, of course, Mary, the mother of our Savior. And then there is Mary Magdalene, or as she's also known as Mary of Magdala. Then third on the list, there is Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. Or as she is referred to in Matthew 28 and verse 1, she's called the other Mary. There is also Mary, the wife of Cleophas, who stood by the cross with the Savior's mother. And we find that the mother of John Mark was also called Mary. Acts 12 and verse 12. And then when we go into the book of the Romans, the epistle to the Romans, chapter 16 and verse 6, we find another woman called Mary, who helped Paul in his labors in the gospel. Now we come to Mary number 7. Mary of Bethany. Mary, the younger sister of Martha, and sister to Lazarus. Now when we have looked at some of the other Marys in our study, we discovered that the name Mary means bitter. It is taken from a Hebrew word or a Hebrew name, Mara. We know we speak about the bitter waters of Mara. Mary is taken from the Hebrew name Mara and means bitter. And yet, when we look at all of the Marys, all of the women who have and bear this name, there is not one trace of a bitter spirit to be found in any of them. Instead, they were all adorned with the sweet spirit, not only with that sweet spirit, but that sweet spirit added, I believe, to their beauty. That was certainly true of the Mary that we want to consider today. The Mary, the younger sister of Martha. You know, I believe that the main reason why this Mary was certainly not a bitter woman was because she spent so much time in the company of the Lord Jesus. She spent so much time sitting at the Savior's feet. See, the more time we spend in the company of Christ, the more time we spend at His feet, the less bitter we will be. We will become more and more like Christ, and there was no one sweeter than the Lord Jesus. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, for the Lord is sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. And I discover also regarding this Mary that in the three passages in the Gospels where attention is drawn to her, there is little recorded of anything that she said. In fact, in all that is written about Mary, there's only one sentence that is recorded as coming from the lips of this Mary. Mary was a woman of few words. She was so enthralled with the Savior, there was no need to say anything. So today, I want to look at Mary of Bethany. This woman of few words, and consider her relationship and fellowship and communion that she enjoyed with Christ her Redeemer. And as we consider Mary, I trust that the Lord will so speak to us that we will want to be more like Mary, that we'll want to spend more time at the Savior's feet as Mary did. She was a woman of few words. Very different from Martha. Martha did all the talking. Martha was bitter. Martha was critical of her sister and of the Savior. Mary was the one who spent time at the Savior's feet. She was the one who said very little and let the Lord say it all. Oh, to be like Mary. I want us, first of all, to consider this incident here, the day that Martha welcomed the Lord Jesus into her home. We notice, first of all, Mary's place with the Master. Mary's place with the Master, we are told in verse 39, and she had a sister, that is Martha, called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. There was Mary's place. Whenever we read about Mary of Bethany, she's always in the company of her Savior. And this surely demonstrates just how much she was in love with Christ. And that love is further shown by the fact that when the Savior came into her home that day, she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Whenever the Lord was around, that's where Mary was. Wherever the Lord was, Mary always took her place at the Savior's feet. And because of that, I want to describe that place as her place. Mary's place. It's as if Mary made that place her own. I call it her place because in the three references to her, she's always at the feet of Christ. Here in Luke 10 and verse 39, we find Mary waiting at the feet of Jesus. She's waiting there to hear his word. And then over in John 11 and verses 31 and 33, we find that she is weeping at Jesus' feet. And then the final reference to Mary of Bethany is in John 12 and verse 3, where she anoints the Lord, and there she is worshiping at his feet, waiting at his feet, weeping at his feet, and worshiping at his feet. And so I think we can safely say that that was the place with Christ that Mary occupied. She was always at the Savior's feet. There's something else here that we should note about Mary's place. We're told that Mary sat at Jesus' feet. The woman of the city whom we have already considered, a scarlet woman, and the Lord saved by his grace. When she heard that the Lord was in the house of Simon the Pharisee, she came in, and we are told that she stood at his feet behind him. So that woman stood at his feet. On the resurrection morning, The women who had come to seek for Christ at the sepulchre saw the living Lord, and we are told that those women held him by his feet. But Mary is the only one that we read about who sat at his feet. Now it is interesting that that word sat, Mary which also sat at Jesus' feet, that's the only place that word is found in the New Testament. And that word describes Mary. Mary sitting at the Savior's feet. It's not used to describe anybody else but Mary. So what does that tell us? This word sat, which also means to sit beside his feet, it tells us something about this unique relationship between Mary and the Lord Jesus. You know that Peter, James, and John enjoyed a special relationship with Christ. For the Lord took those three disciples with him to places that the other disciples were not invited to go. And when we look at Mary, the word set is used for Mary alone, emphasizing, I believe, that unique relationship between Mary and the Savior. It was her place. It was the place she always occupied. This tells us that no one seemed to draw as near to Christ as Mary did. No, to have a loving relationship with the Lord Jesus like Mary's. Oh, to be living as near to Christ as Mary was. We were singing there about being near to the heart of God. And when you think of it, that's where Mary was when she was at the feet of the Savior. She was near to the very heart of God. Because Christ is God. Lila, Morris, maybe we could pray and say, nearer, still nearer, close to thy heart. Draw me, my Savior, so precious thou art. Fold me, O fold me, close to thy breast. Shelter me safe in that haven of rest. Mary was close to the heart of God when she sat at the Savior's feet. So we have called it her place. We must also note here that it is her humble place. Some of the Lord's disciples sat beside him at supper. That woman stood behind him. But Mary adopted a more humble position. She was down at his feet. This woman of few words was content to sit in that lowly place, quite simply because it was the feet of Christ she was sitting at. She was happy to sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ because of who he was. The Lord Jesus himself has also dealt with this matter of humility. You recall in John chapter 13, as he spent his final hours with his disciples before the crucifixion. In John 13 and verse 5, verse 4, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. And after that he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet. There's Jesus Christ down at the feet of the disciples, demonstrating his humility. And here's Mary in a Christ-like fashion, occupying that place of humility, down at the feet of Jesus. And whenever the Lord Jesus washed the feet of his disciples, remember, he's the master. They're his servants. And yet we see Christ taking the position of a servant. And he washes the feet of the disciples. And in John 13, again in verse 12, we read, so after he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, well, for so I am. If I then, your Master, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done to you. The Lord didn't mean that the disciples were to literally wash one another's feet. He has given them an example of what true humility is. And he's calling upon his disciples, I have given you an example of humility. I want you to be the same. If necessary, don't be afraid to stoop down and wash your brother's feet. Don't be so proud and haughty and high-minded. I'm your master and I'm your Lord, and yet I have washed your feet. Follow my example. Let us follow the Lord's example. Mary did not need to be told. She knew where her proper place was. Martha, on the other hand, was quite different. Martha was proud and Martha was self-centered. In this particular incident in Luke 10, Martha in many ways was fleshly. Where's her humility? We don't see it in Martha, but we see it in Mary. Yet the Lord would have us all to be children who are humble. James 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. My, how you can apply that word to Mary. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And once Mary got a sight of the Lord, she humbled herself by sitting down at his feet. But James goes on to say, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. That's what the Lord did with Mary. Whenever Mary was given a sight of the Lord Jesus, she humbly falls at his feet. But what did the Lord do? The Lord lifted her up by his words. For he told Martha, your sister Mary hath chosen that good part. There was Martha, and she was pulling down her sister. Master, carest thou not that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her. Come and help me. And the Lord had to gently rebuke Martha. Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered by much or many things. Thou art troubled. But your sister Mary, she has chosen the better part. I find it interesting also that in Revelation chapter 1, when John, there in the Isle of Patmos, saw the Lord. Remember again what James said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And in Revelation 1:17 we read, and when I saw him, John says, when I saw Christ, I fell at his feet as dead. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. And if we have our eyes always on the Lord, we'll know what it is then to live a humble life. Have a humble spirit. And the Lord himself will lift us up. Mary's place that day was also an honoring place. Mary, by bowing down so low, even to the Master's feet, yes, she was taking the humble place, but in so doing, she was honoring the Lord. She was lifting him up. In honoring her Lord for what he had done for her, she took up that place at the Savior's feet. You just go back there to Luke 7. And again, with reference to the woman of the city. That city woman, she came into the house of the Pharisee. Heard the Lord was there. She pointed out before. She didn't come into that house to meet Christ to be saved. She came into the house because she was saved. But we read then in verse 37, and behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment, and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. You notice all the focus of this woman is upon the feet of Christ. That's where she's standing. And she's there because she wants to honor Christ. She wants to honor him because of what he has done for her. Recall the day that the Lord healed 10 lepers. And only one returned. Says one turned back. This is one of those occasions when it was the right thing to do, to turn back. He turned back and he came to the Lord, listen, and he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. The woman of the city, the sinner, who had been gloriously saved by Christ, came into the house of Simon the Pharisee and came to the feet of Christ, washed his feet with her tears, kissed his feet, anointed his feet. Why did she do that? She wanted to honor the one who had done so much for her. Saved her, transformed her, cleansed her, washed her in his own blood. And the leper fell down at the feet of Christ, wanted to give him thanks. He was honoring the Lord. Mary's at his feet. Why is she there? She wants to honor him. She wants to honor him and glorify him. And dear child of God, today there is only one place for you and I to occupy, and that is down at the feet of Christ. Why? Because of all that he has done for us. Hasn't he died for us, suffered for us, shed his blood for us, paid the price of our redemption? And glory to his name, he's coming back again for us. Then it must be that we take our place with Mary at the feet of Christ. To honor him, to lift him up. It was down at the feet of Jesus where I brought my guilt and sin, and he canceled all my transgressions, and salvation entered in. How we need to honor him. How we ought to honor him. How we must honor him. And we may do so if we take our place at the feet of the Lord. As Paul told Timothy, let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own master worthy of all honor. Paul was talking about regular day-to-day servants. But this may be applied to us as the servants of the Lord. And the Lord is our master. And our master is worthy of all honor, is he not? He's worthy of all honor. As the Lord told Eli, them that honor me, I will honor. When Martha saw her sister sitting at the Savior's feet, she wanted him to scold her, rebuke her. She's left me. Look at me, I'm serving, and I'm serving alone, and I've so much to do. Master, you need to rebuke my sister. Far from rebuking her, it was Martha who was rebuked. No, he didn't scold Mary. Instead, he honored Mary. They that honor me, I will honor. Let us then take our place alongside Mary and honor Christ. He has done so much for us. You have Mary's place and the Master. Then you have Mary's purpose and the Master. We're clearly told why Mary made her way to the feet of Christ. For we're told that she went there and was sitting at his feet and heard his word. It's her purpose. With regard to her purpose, notice her attraction. Mary was there, the disciples were there, we're told that the Lord went with them to Bethany. And he was welcomed into the house of Martha, and the disciples were there. But we find that Mary is the one, of all who were in the house that day, Mary is the one who was attracted to the Lord because he was going to give her a word. She was like a student sitting at the feet of her teacher. In Acts chapter 22 and verse 3, we read there about Paul and how he sat at the feet of Gamaliel. Gamaliel was his teacher. Paul was his student. And he took up that place at the feet of his teacher. He says that. And here's Mary, and she does the same thing. She's at the feet of her teacher, the Lord Jesus Christ. That teacher whom Nicodemus described as the teacher come from God. She was evidently attracted, first of all, to the man, Christ Jesus. Mary did not leave Martha to go and sit at the feet of Peter. She didn't leave Martha to go and sit at the feet of John or James or Thomas or any of the disciples. She left Martha to sit at the feet of Christ. She was attracted not to any of the members of the disciple body, but she was attracted to the Lord Jesus. No doubt Peter, as we can read in the opening chapters of Acts, was a mighty preacher. As with John, James, and the others, they were full of the Holy Ghost to be witnesses unto the Lord. They would have been mighty preachers. The Lord Jesus was the greatest of them all. Besides, he not only gave Mary the word, he is the word. He not only spoke the word of God, but he is God the word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Mary saw the word that day, and Mary heard the word that day. And she was attracted to him. For the day that the word came into the house of Mary and Martha, Mary was drawn to the Lord. Are we so drawn to Christ? Are we so taken up with Christ? Do we long to sit at his feet? Do we long to spend more time in that humble place, honoring him? Do we want to spend more time around his word? Hearing his word, studying his word, meditating upon his word? That was Mary. She was attracted to the man. She was attracted to the ministry of Christ. And it's little wonder that Mary was drawn to the Lord Jesus, because he had a unique ministry. One day the Pharisees sent out their officers to arrest the Lord. Some time later they returned, but they were empty-handed. Pharisees wanted to know, why have you not arrested him? And all they could say was, never man spake like this man. In other words, they had gone out to arrest Christ, and Christ, through his ministry, had arrested them. Like a bunch of men went one day to listen to John Wesley preach, and they went with their hands full of stones. And they placed themselves in the crowd, and their intention was that once John Wesley started to preach, they would start casting stones at him. But such was the power of Wesley's preaching that one by one they dropped the stone. They'd been arrested by his preaching. The power of the Spirit of God working through his preaching. And the officers of the Pharisees came back and said, never man spake like this man. We've never heard a preacher like this before. We couldn't arrest them. And so when Mary went to the feet of Christ to hear his word, she went there to listen to the greatest of all preachers speak the word. There have been many great preachers in church history down through the centuries. George Whitefield, perhaps one of the greatest preachers of all time. Multitudes went, traveled, walked for miles in order to get a chance to listen to Whitefield preach. And he would preach in the open air to 30, 40, 50,000 people. And it is said that every person could hear him clearly. Whitefield was a great preacher. But he wasn't a preacher like Christ. John Wesley, as I said, was a great preacher, but he wasn't a preacher like Christ. Robert Murray McShane was a great preacher. But he went to Dundee. St. Peter's Church in Dundee was almost empty. When the young man died in his 30th year, he had 1,100 of a congregation. He's a mighty preacher. C.H. Spurgeon is called the Prince of Preachers. But if Spurgeon is the Prince of Preachers, Christ is the King of Preachers. Why? Because never man spake like this man. No, not even Whitefield or Spurgeon or McShane or Wesley. Never man spake like this man. And here's Mary, and she goes to the feet of Christ to hear his word. Couldn't blame her, could you? I've often thought, what would it be like to have heard Whitefield preach? What would it be like to listen to McShane preach, or Andrew Bonner preach, or Spurgeon? But there was no way of recording their voices in those days. It would just been lovely to listen to them. But then we think again, what must it have been like to listen to Christ preach? Oh my. You traveled to the other side of the world. Get a chance to hear Christ preach. And there's Mary. She takes her place at his feet to hear his word. She was there because of the message of Christ. For it is recorded, Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. See, the Lord had something to say. A message, no doubt for Mary and Martha. The Lord had a word for Mary and Martha, but only Mary heard the word. Martha was too busy with other things. Mary wanted to hear the Lord, but Martha was less interested. True, isn't it? She was less interested, wasn't really interested in hearing this one speak, this unique preacher, this unique expositor of the word. She wasn't interested. The Lord had a message to deliver to Mary. It was important, and Mary made sure that she heard that message. She went and sat at his feet. Martha felt she had more important things to do. She had more important things to do than sit at Jesus' feet hearing his word. Oh, we may tut and say, oh, Martha, that's terrible. But how many of us do the same thing? There's the opportunity to hear the word, but have more important things to do. There's an opportunity to spend an hour and study the word, but have more important things to do. Have an opportunity to get out my concordance and my commentary and a notebook and study the word, but no, have more important things to do. Just like Martha. See, we're no different, really. Oh, that we would be like Mary. Be like Mary, who sat at his feet and heard his word. She needed a word. She wanted a word from the Lord. Have we come to God's house today with that prayer upon our lips? Lord, I need a word from thee. Have you gone to God's house some Sabbath morning or evening? You've had a hard week. You've had trials and testings and tribulations. And you've gone to God's house with the prayer, the earnest prayer, I need a word from God today. I need to get a word. We should do that every week. Whether we have had a hard week or not, we go up to the Lord's house, our prayer should be, Master, speak. Thy servant heareth, waiting for thy gracious word, longing for thy voice that cheereth. Master, let it now be heard. I am listening, Lord, for thee. What hast thou to say to me? That was Mary. Mary was attracted to Christ. She was attracted to him, the one who was altogether lovely. Remember one year when I went with our teachers and the school children to Niagara Falls and went along there to the butterfly house and the rose garden. The roses were in full bloom. And remember that day you could hardly walk past the roses. You looked at one and you saw its beauty and its scent, its fragrance. You walked a bit further. Oh, there's another one. You'd stopped and looked at it as well. You'd have spent the whole day just looking at the roses and their beauty and the beauty of God's creation. You see, you're attracted to the roses. Jesus Christ is the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of the valleys. He's altogether lovely. He's the fairest of 10,000. Are we not attracted to him? We can do nothing else. We must sit at his feet. We must sit there a while and hear his word. Yes, I know of other things to do, but I need to spend time with Christ. What a lovely picture of love and devotion we have here in this meal. Much more to say in this particular portion, but we'll have to leave it for another time. I trust that you will study it yourself. look at Mary and contrast Mary and the behavior of Martha. There is a considerable contrast. What do we want to be? Do we want to be a Martha? Or do we want to be a Mary? Remember, the Lord rebuked Martha. And the Lord commended Mary. It's not what we want. Do we want the well done of God? That word of commendation from the Savior. Let's bow our heads together and pray. O Lord and gracious Father, we praise and thank Thee for Thy word. How Mary, Lord, would have rejoiced in the word she heard that day. Came from the lips of the Word incarnate. O Lord, I pray that Thou will always give us an ear for the Word. That which will do our souls good. That which will lift our spirits. That which will strengthen us, encourage us, comfort us. Lead us along life's journey. Lord, I pray that there will have been a word this morning for every heart. A word, Lord, that we can think about and meditate upon. O Lord, bless Thy word to our heart. Pray, Lord, for any at this stage of our service who must leave.